Common Ground. I'm your host, Pat Casal. Today, we got a lot to talk about. My co-host is Dean Shulman, and we're going to have some fun tonight because I tell you what, I've never seen a more crazier time in American politics.
What a week.
Dean, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you, Pat? I'm good.
I'm COVID-free.
Yeah, well, me too right now, so hopefully it stays that way. What a week, huh?
I wear my mask every time I get a chance, and I will tell you, I'm going to give a plug, but I love that mask from Copperfit. It works. You can breathe. You can talk. You can function.
Awesome. Hey, Pat.
I love it.
Is this one of the craziest weeks you've ever seen?
I can't imagine a crazier week, more crazy than this. It doesn't make any sense.
I had predicted the elections would have serious ebbs and flows before the election. You know, in the weeks heading into the election, I figured it was going to go back and forth and back and forth. But who could have predicted anything like this? This is beyond.
This is an ebb and flow, I'll tell you, big time.
It's an amazing thing. I mean, I can't even, starting with the debate, I mean, can you imagine that debate and then have this happen with you know, this many people getting COVID, including the president?
Well, 19 people on the Trump team are involved. But, you know, honestly, I'm shocked. You know, I saw the debate. It's amazing. I mean, it really is amazing. I'm stunned by everything that I've witnessed this week. The word is that this may have been the worst debate in American history. Well, it's definitely the worst in my lifetime. I can't imagine two individuals talking over each other. I mean, Trump did as usual, and Biden did as well. I mean, I'm actually shocked that Wallace lost control. I thought Tuesday night was ugly.
I think that was the president's intent, though. He wanted that to happen. He was looking for that to happen.
I got to tell you the truth. I really was disappointed in this respect. I thought Joe Biden could have hung himself, and all Trump had to do was just capitalize on it. But what are you going to do? I mean, again, maybe it's his lack of experience in politics. I really don't know.
The amazing thing to me is that when you talk to people from both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats, they both saw something completely different. And it just boggles my mind how everyone saw something completely different. When you talk to Republicans, Trump steamrolled him. He was awesome. He did everything right. And Joe Biden looked silly. When you talk to Democrats, Trump was a bully. Trump, you know, went after Biden's kids. And, you know, he did all disrespected the host, disrespected Biden. I mean, two totally different views of what happened.
Let's be frank. It was the spin zone. I will tell you, I was disappointed because I thought Donald Trump had a great opportunity to crush Joe Biden. I don't think Biden won by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think Trump was a victor. I mean, Trump did come off like a bully, which people do not want to see.
Right.
That's a fact. I mean, I rooted for Trump. The first 45 minutes, I thought he was slaughtering him. The last 45 minutes, it was a whole different case. I said this then, I'll say it now. I didn't think they were going to have another debate. I don't see why Biden would want to. The bottom line is we're sitting in a very interesting era, and I'm shocked. I'm totally floored by what we witnessed on Tuesday.
I know.
So
a lot of the Republicans who have
talked, oh my God, what?
A lot of the Republicans that I've talked to, including you, said if Biden just holds his own, if he shows he doesn't have dementia, he'll win. He wins. Because everyone just expected him to crack and show signs of dementia and not be able to not look competent. And he actually did the opposite of that. He looked very competent. I mean, he wasn't anything outstanding. He was he is who he is. He's not the charismatic character that other people are. But he held his own, and he definitely looked competent.
I don't know if I can say, honestly, in my opinion, I thought he was weak. I was not impressed with him at all. He got called out a couple of times, but if Trump would have just taken two steps back, he could have gone three steps forward because I think Donald Trump was definitely has better policy, has a better game plan, but that's neither here nor there. But I do think what happened later in the week is probably the story of the decade.
It's amazing how that after that debate, it's almost history. It's in the news cycle, it's history already.
Well, that's because, let's be honest, in the news cycle, every day is a new game.
I know. It's just amazing. What's going to happen next? You know?
I wish I could tell you. I know that the Trump team is going on. It's out in the news, but I heard about this directly from the horse's mouth. that he's doing pretty good. And I'm excited about that.
Well,
by the fact that the president is doing pretty well. I mean, he's also got an edge on his side with regard to, Walter Reed. You can't get any better than Walter Reed Hospital.
Well, plus the president, and this is, I'll paraphrase Dr. Conley, his doctor, who said, something effective. Hopefully the president is getting a standard of care that in months from now is the standard of care for everyone else. And he's getting these medications that are not approved yet, but have shown a lot of promise. So hopefully that is the standard of care, because if somebody gets it 6 months from now and it works, that's what we're all hoping for.
Is the president the guinea pig for these drugs?
He's not the guinea pig, because they're in phase two trials already.
No, but I'm saying is he going to be the Mason-Dixon line where everybody weighs it and says, if it's good enough for the president, it worked, I'm willing to give it a shot.
It still needs CDC approval. And, and everybody's hoping that it is. That's the hope, that these things work. I mean, you have the best companies in the world, the best scientists in the world working on this stuff, and they're hoping that it works. And, he's getting it.
Both of us keep our fingers crossed. I mean, it's a big day. 19 people. I'm more interested in Chris Christie. I think he is definitely.
Well, he's high risk.
Oh, very high risk. And if you're out there and you want to chime in and give us your opinion, we'd like to hear it. What did you think about the debate? What do you think about this COVID? The number is 702-257-5396. That's 702-257-5396. Chime in. This is an interesting topic. What did you think about this week? And where do you think we go from here? And, Dean, that question I posed to you, where do you think it goes from here?
Well, look, as far as COVID goes, if you feel the economy is more important than worrying about the virus, and if someone is at high risk, they should just take their own precautions, and that's how you feel about it, then you should vote Republican. If you want the government to come up with a clear plan on how to handle the virus and try to keep everyone safe, you should vote Democratic. That's how
I don't know if I agree with that. I think the president has a clear plan. They're doing the best they can, doing a lot of testing.
No, the president's clear plan is obviously to just, let it be. The virus virus is the virus. Maybe immunity, whatever they're thinking. They're not. The president isn't thinking about keeping everyone safe. He didn't even keep himself safe.
The better question is, if you want bigger government, you vote for the Democrat. You want smaller government, you vote Republican.
Well, we're talking about COVID, but in general, the Democrats have more government involvement. There's no question. But
they want us. The Democrats want to hold the purse strings. They want you to do exactly what they tell you to do and how to do it. And they want to dictate what's best for you and me. And
in the case of COVID, the Democrats are following science and following what the scientists say, and the Republicans don't want to do that.
The science they followed with the health insurance law.
What?
What's the science on the health care law?
Let's not talk about health. We're talking about COVID and Pat. Talking about health care is boring. I don't care what you say. People called in and said it was boring last week. What?
If you listen to the big government, they want to be able to think for us. The best part about being an American is we're independent. We get to do what we want to do. We can work. We can be successful. I don't give a rat's behind.
Pat, the government has responsibilities in this country, and that's just you can't avoid the responsibilities of the government. They collect taxes and pay for things that you need for infrastructure that's necessary for people to live.
You and I'll pay $2.99 for it. I mean,
what?
The truth be told is our government has been inefficient for so long that the truth be told is they should just worry about keeping the border safe, the roads paved, and let the American people go to work and make livings.
But the government has to take care of things that provide the life that we have. All you have to do is look around and see parks and roads and bridges and sewers. I mean, there's no way around that.
That's their job. But as far as how we live, what we work, what we do for jobs, how our careers work, the government shouldn't be in that business at all. I don't see it at all.
But COVID's a good example. So the scientists are saying one thing. And do you follow science or you don't follow science? In other countries, there's no cases.
I've listened to Fauci forever. And, basically what he's saying is one thing one day and another day.
No, he doesn't. He says the COVID
sure
is incredibly infectious. And face masks, for instance, work. I mean, if everybody wore a mask, the rate of infection will go down. And, you know, this disease is hit or miss. Some people get no symptoms at all, and some people wind up in the hospital and die.
The most successful way to avoid this problem, they clearly stated it wasn't the mask, it was social distancing. And that's really where we should be.
That's ridiculous.
No, it's the fact. It's the fact. That's what Fauci said. That's one of the reasons why things are so successful. If you look at the NHL and how they pretty much put themselves in quarantine, there were no fans, and they stayed amongst themselves, they had no problems with hockey. Nobody broke out with COVID.
Right, and they test it every day, same as football. In football, they're testing every single person. They test every single person every day.
How are we doing right now? How many games are canceled this week?
Right, well, somehow it's gotten in. It's been good right up until now. But the same can say for the president. Everything was good until this week when they held that Rose Garden. I mean, that event at the Rose Garden where he you know, was nominating Amy Coney Barrett. I mean, that's embarrassing. There's all these people with no face mask, hugging and kissing, and they're all getting COVID now. I mean, that's what the scientists are warning about.
Have they found out where the COVID started? How they got it? How it got in there?
Nobody knows for sure, but it sure looks like that party in the Rose Garden was where it started. There's eight or nine people that have already tested positive from there.
Well, they're doing the contact tracing, so as of this moment, they haven't made. Once they finally give us a direct positive hit, then we have an idea where it came from. We just don't know. I mean, the president has done a lot of stuff around the country without face masks.
Well, I mean, you know, obviously they're speculating because no one knows for sure, but it sure looks like it was that. I mean, listen, Pat, we can go back to this as many times as you like, but the Democrats are following the scientists and following the science, and the Republicans refuse to do that. And that's just the bottom line. The
Michigan congressperson who's on tape making the statement, I'm wearing the mask so I can make a social – I can make everybody believe what I'm doing, but I'm only doing this to garner votes.
Right. Well, how it became a political issue, I have no idea. How does wearing a mask, you know, become political? It makes no sense.
All I know is this. All I can tell you is this. When you can go into a casino and you can smoke without a mask on, but you and I can't, there's something wrong. Now, I know we opened up Nevada this week to 250. We can go to church.
Right.
And things are getting better. They're trying to bring some of the businesses back. It's a question of, as far as the economy is concerned, I think it's more about jobs. You know, sooner or later, the country can't just keep giving money to people. We've got to get back to work.
Right. Well, a lot of people agree with that.
So, hey, we got a caller. We got Will on the line. Hey, Will. Right. How you doing, my friend?
Hey, gentlemen. Doing fine. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you good, Will.
I can hear you.
All right. I'm on a speakerphone. I always like to ask people so that, you know, they're comfortable with the tone.
Thank you.
Well, gentlemen, there's an old term called, there's a lot there to unpack because you're just covering a lot of different directions. But number one, I thought we were going to talk about the reconstruction of America because no one else is doing that. They're just arguing all these points.
Right. Well, but it's hard. It's really hard with the divisiveness. I mean, everyone sees things so completely different. I mean, I'm sure you've talked to Republicans and Democrats. They have a totally different narrative. It's really hard. I try all the time. I try to bridge the gap with a lot of people, but the way they see it is so different because of the spin on the various networks and the various, you know, programs that they watch.
Dean, if you stop right there,
okay,
you're absolutely correct. Everything you said right now is undeniable. You cannot have the discussion. You wonder why we hunt for the causation. We hunt to track and trail the source of that. And you summed it all up, and I think you did it in a natural tone here. The media has deserted us, is what they have done.
Well, no question.
Now we have to take over. And there are various leaders, and I consider you two to be an avant-garde moment. There are other talk shows in this town that are just so abusive, it's unbelievable. Now, yeah. I wanted to mention something to you along the same subject matter you were talking about, if I might.
Okay.
Okay. Well, you were talking about the debates a few moments ago. Well, we don't think Biden wants to have it, we don't think Trump. Gentlemen, I don't care what those people think they want or they need. This country belongs to us, okay? They owe us a debate. Period. End of discussion. I don't care who you are. It's our game, and we play it the way we determine the rules in the American public. Now, here's the point. what happens now is we need to have a timer where we can watch. The public needs to see a timer along with them. And we need to stop having these people who moderate with some long, drawn out predisposition commentary. It's just embarrassing. This is real simple. Gentlemen, for the next 2 minutes, is that your bird or do I have birds in the neighborhood here? But the point is that, gentlemen, for the next 2 minutes, Mr. Trump, you get to talk about illegal aliens in our country. And the same thing for you, Mr. Biden. And by the way, if one of you interrupts during this time, we take that time off your time. We don't need to
That's
call
names. That's a way to do it. Well, I like that.
Yes.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah. Do you think Trump could abide by that? That's the question. I don't know that he could do it.
Could Biden abide by it? Because Biden was first to interrupt. By the way, the number is 702-257-5396. It looks like we got other callers.
Will, I totally agree with you. I think you're absolutely right also. And I hope there's a way. I hope they can come up with something.
Dean, what we're getting into, when you look at the moderators anymore, they pick these characters who want to be famous. They want the glow factor. Everyone wants to be famous.
Yeah, I know.
And they're not sticking to the mission, which is to define the issues at our hand, and they're not prioritizing what those issues are.
Well, can I throw out a theory?
No, because the question you begged, let me finish up here. You begged a question as if to say, well, if each candidate simply refuses to participate in some unruly manner, what do we do? That's the next question that needs to be discussed. But this is what I'm suggesting about. If you look at our country, there's literally a slew of these things that need to be reconstructed. They need to be re-paradigmed, you know?
I agree. I think we all agree with that.
Calling before the break. You know, I'll tell you one thing. I'm here being in Texas. I'm talking to my father-in-law. I mean, truthfully, we are living, he's basically saying our nation is divided. The question is, how divided? Is it 50-50? Because if it is 50-50, you know what happened back in the 1860s. That could be ugly. We go to the phones. We got Paul on the line. Hey, Paul, thank you for calling.
Hey, how are you guys? Listen, I have a question for the person that I don't know which one is which that thinks that our great save-all is going to be masks. First of all, number one, what are the main entry points of COVID to the human body? Okay, I'll answer it for you. Well, the mouth, the nose, the eyes.
Right. I was going to say that.
Okay, so there, you're covering how many of it? Two out of three. What about the eyes?
I don't know. Okay, well, you know, when you go into the hospital, all the doctors are wearing face masks. You know, I'm wearing protective eyewear.
I mean, who is?
All the doctors and the nurses are all wearing protective eyewear.
Then why aren't they telling us that we have to wear it too?
I don't know.
If it's that important. I don't know.
I haven't heard that, so I'd have to look it up.
What? Haven't heard what? I mean, come
that
on.
That you can get COVID through the eyes.
Oh, you can. True. It's in the air.
You have to wipe your eyes.
Are you really that ignorant? Come on.
I'm not ignorant. I mean, you know.
Well, in that case, you are. Because you get it three places, your mouth, your nose, your eyes. Okay? And the eyes are not covered. How come? How come nobody says cover the eyes? The only thing the mask does, basically, is it prevents you from spreading it as bad as you would spread it without having a mask. That's all it does. Once it's out there, none of these masks, not even the N95, will prevent the COVID from going into when you breathe in. It's sort of like in Florida. You ever been in Florida? They have these little insidious bugs called no-see-ums. You know why they don't see them? Because you don't see them. And they can even go through screen, fly through screen. They're that small, but they will hurt you.
You know what's interesting?
And you know what? It's the exact same thing with COVID.
You know what's interesting about that? They tell you not to rub your eyes. They tell you you should be washing your hands on a regular basis. And that's part of the reason, Dean, because your eyes is an engine.
Okay, what I'm reading so far, I looked it up a little, and it seems to be very low risk to get it through your eyes. They're not even sure whether you can.
If it's low risk to get to the eyes, then why do we need to social distance?
COVID is an aerosol. It's spread by aerosols. It's in the air.
Right. That means aerosol means in the air. So your eyes aren't subjected to
what
the
do you
air.
Mean? So the what all the scientists say is your best chance of getting COVID is in inside, low ventilation, small spaces, no masks. I mean, that's just the way it is. Aerosols, if you wear a mask, you're protecting you and the other person, if you have it or they have it, from the aerosols entering into your nose or mouth. Your eyes are low risk.
So now that you've taken the first step to not being ignorant, okay, please look up to see what happens and how long COVID stays in the air once it's been aerosol.
Well, there's a dispute about that. It's some people say up to 5-6 hours, but there's definitely some dispute about it. And there's been some scientists have definitely done studies on it, and there's been different results, and it does stay in the air.
So you're willing to be a lamb and let the spotter just because you don't have the common sense to figure out that it can get in your system through your eyes?
No, if you want to wear glasses, that's fine with me. We're protective eye gear. That's
not
around
the glasses.
What?
That's the point. The only thing that'll cover you is a complete mask, like you're going scuba diving.
Okay, so wear it. I'm not stopping you from wearing it. You probably should. If that's what you feel, you should probably wear it.
No, I don't think so. One reason I'm bringing this point up is that you are so strong on let's wear masks, when they don't really work.
Who says they don't work?
You did, because you just agreed that a large part of the COVID spread is aerosoled and comes through the air. And you know what? Where's that going to go through? The eyes.
No, it's not. It's very low risk to go through your eyes. I don't even know if it does. From what I'm looking at it, there's no evidence that says it goes through your eyes. And if it did go through your eyes, they'd be saying to wear something over your eyes. I don't find anything that says it's going through your eyes. I mean, that's you're making shit up.
Not making shit up. Don't answer simply because your eyes. How is it that they tell you not to rub your eyes and all that if you've been someplace else?
They tell you not to rub your mouth.
Has had a cold.
Everyone says don't rub your mouth.
Because it comes in through your eyes. Don't rub your eyes. That's bad.
Combination makes sense, but I'll go back to what I said before and I'll reiterate it again.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up. What?
Social distancing is the key to success.
Oh, man. You broke up. Sorry.
He said social distancing is the key to success. Pat said,
problem.
I believe social distancing is the key.
Well, you know, but everyone says social distancing and masks. You know, if you don't breathe it in, if someone sneezes, how far does the sneeze go? How far do the aerosols go when you sneeze? I'll ask you a couple questions. Did he hang up?
He's gone. We had a little go.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll ask you. If he's listening, I'll ask you a few questions. How far do aerosols go if you sneeze and if you don't have a mask on? Because the answer is far, really far. And if you don't have a mask on to protect yourself from that, you know, you're increasing your chances of getting some viral load. I mean, it's just the way it is. And, you know, viral load does matter. So if you're exposed to it, and if you're exposed to it in heavier doses, you're going to get a higher viral load and get sicker.
I will tell you this, Dean. The key to me is I take a lot of supplements. I take my zinc. I do what I can. I'm trying to stay strong. I'm avoiding myself, putting myself into situations that won't work. And I am totally and absolutely social distancing.
Well, that won't. You know, taking vitamins is good for you. I'm not saying don't supplement, but it's not going to prevent you from getting it. But it may help you fight it off if you do get it. But if you're exposed to the virus, if you expose yourself to the virus like all those people did at that Rose Garden, apparently, you're going to get COVID. But hopefully, taking the supplements will help fight it off. That's what you're hoping for.
Let me just say this: you got to stay healthy. You know, and I know, if you're not healthy, and you get hit with the bug, it's bad. And
all
that's
right.
Where I look at Chris Christie and I go, oh my God, he's got problems. He's got sugar diabetes. He's insulin dependent. He's heavy set.
And
the beat goes on. I will tell you this. I've lost some weight. I got to get back in the gym. I won't go in the gym because everybody's...
It's break time.
We're going to go to a break. Everything in the gym is dangerous.
Right.
We come back. We'll pick up where we left off. The number 702-257-5396. We hope to talk to you shortly. We're talking about the craziest week in American history. Politically,
yeah.
Hey, Hey, Sean Hannity here, and as you know, changes can disrupt the market in a moment's notice. Well, the same is true with real estate in that market. However, not all national events affect local real estate markets the same way. That's why, as an active real estate investor, I always turn to a trusted local real estate agent to give me accurate, up-to-the-minute advice. Here in Vegas, I'm talking about Rick and Terry Brenkus of Keller Williams Real Estate and Marketplace. Now, you've likely heard us talking together right here, and they know how to cut through all of the talk and to give you accurate information that will help you get your home sold on time and for the most money, regardless of what the local market conditions are. Now, Rick and Terry have sold 250 homes every year for the last 25 years. They are constantly ranked as the top real estate agents in Vegas by the Wall Street Journal. And if I needed to sell a home in Vegas, I'd call Rick and Terry. Call Rick and Terry Brenkus now at 702-456-5959 on the web, thebrenkusteam.com. That's thebrenkusteam.com.
License number BS16186.
Hey, Chuck, first of all, can you tell us what it means to be a direct lender?
You ever see those ads on TV for payday loans from Money Mutual and other companies? You know, they had Montel Williams as their spokesperson.
Oh, I've seen them all the time.
Well, they're what's called a lead generator. Check the disclaimer at the bottom of their website. It'll clearly say, this is not a lender. When you see this, it means they just gather your information and sell it.
Oh, so Dollar Loan Center is a direct lender, and you lend your money.
Yep, literally my money. You deal directly with us and only us. Just be careful out there and read the fine print before you give up your data.
That was Chuck, founder of Dollar Loan Center, where you can get a signature installment loan up to $5,000 in just minutes. You can also apply over the phone or online at don'tbebroke.com.
Licensed by Nevada Financial Institutions Division. Customer must meet the normal loan qualifications. To review loan qualifications, visit us at don'tbebroke.com. Certain limitations may apply. Loans are subject to approval.
Are you a survivor of sexual abuse while in the Boy Scouts? You may be entitled to compensation, no matter how long ago the abuse happened. But your time to file a claim is limited. Call 800-930-9655. That's 800-930-9655 for more information. As a result of thousands of victims filing sexual abuse claims, the Boy Scouts have filed for bankruptcy protection, and the bankruptcy court has set November 16, 2020, as the deadline for abuse survivors to file a claim. If you are a survivor of sexual abuse while in the Boy Scouts, you may be entitled to compensation, no matter how long ago the abuse happened. Call for more information with one of our compassionate counselors today. Your call is completely anonymous. Remember, the bankruptcy court has set November 16, 2020 as the deadline for abuse survivors to file a claim. Call 800-930-9655. That's 800-930-9655 today. Sponsored by Mark J. Byrne and Partners, LLP.
Mark Levin, weekdays 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. only on KDWN.
And welcome back to round two. This is Common Ground. My name is Patrick Snell, your host. My co-host is Dean Schulman. We're talking about this week in politics, and we're talking about the mask right now. We have Al on the phone. If you want to join in, the number is 702-257-5396, 702-257-5396. By all means, what do you think about the mask? And do you think that the Republicans don't believe in science and the Democrats do? Al, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. Hey, listen, I just wanted to tell, I'm from here from Las Vegas. You know, we all wear our masks here. And the whole key with wearing the mask is mitigation. Now, if you look up the definition of the word mitigation, like I did the other day, it means to lessen the effect. We knew from the very beginning that the masks weren't going to stop it. All we wanted to do is wear the mask to slow the virus down, slow the aerosols down, so that the hospitals don't get overwhelmed. And we can hopefully slow it down enough so till we get a vaccine and lessen the effect of the deaths and the people overrunning the hospital, especially now during the flu season.
I agree 100%. That's absolutely what the masks are for. And, it's working. I know the hospital up the street doesn't even have anybody in ICU right now. Because at the end of the last segment, what I was talking about was viral load. If you wear your mask and you do come across an aerosol, you're going to lower your viral load. and you probably won't get as sick. And that reduces true. The hospitalizations and so on. Exactly what you're saying.
So that's the thing is that, and, you know, and here in Nevada, you know, I kind of like Governor Sisolak, but, you know, the thing is that we have a one-dimensional economy. You know, we are fighting this thing face-to-face, man. We're the infantry.
Right.
And that's the only, and it's not perfect protection. It's limited protection. All we can do is slow the enemy down until we get a vaccine. He's going to get some of us. And all we can do is slow it down and protect our jobs, protect right. our family, protect our home, you know, our jobs so we can keep our homes and keep our cars.
Right.
Because unfortunately, our leaders here, our economy is not diversified. We can't go work from home. No. We got to go to the casinos. We got to face-to-face.
Al, that's one of my number one beefs with our politicians. I don't understand with the favorable tax conditions and the situation in Nevada why we didn't open up and bring in more businesses to try to get away from just a gaming economy. These are the kind of things that we should be doing in Nevada that could be great and it would make us vibrant instead of relying on gaming only. I really need
exactly, to and that's what we got to do.
Going in that direction. I believe Nevada is going in that direction.
We are, but we're going too slow.
Maybe.
Very slow.
And the other problem is this, and I wanted to say this because I know you guys want to run the show. Our biggest issue right now is that Dieter computer system, man, because there's a lot of people out there that are starving. I'm semi-retired. I'm okay. But there's people that you know, they need a job. They need to feed their family. They need money. And they're not getting it. You can see it on Twitter. And that's the biggest problem. That if before they even diversify, they got to get that computer system working better. Here in Nevada. That's what I think.
No question.
Al, I appreciate your call. You're a gentleman, sir. I hope you call us again.
Thank you, Al.
All right. Thank you. Not a problem.
Take care. The number here is 702-257-5396. That's 702-257-5396. I will say this. A lot of the frustration that I see is people are just so tired of being shut down that they're spreading out, and that could be a possibility we have to spread. And that's another issue we have to look at.
Right.
We have another call. We have Gary on the line. Gary, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi, Gary.
Hey, I want to say something really serious, and then I'm going to be funny. We'll try to be funny.
Okay.
Number one, the cure can't be worse than the disease. We got to open the economy. People die, unfortunately. Now I'm going to be funny. Hey, look at the bright side. There's a silver lining in every cloud. The Martians, they didn't come and invade us. Like that movie, War of the Worlds. Where's H.G. Wells when you need him, huh?
Yeah,
have a great
right.
weekend.
That's very good, Gary.
Well, you know, a lot of people believe that. That's, you know, a lot of people feel like the economy is more important. I mean, Trump feels that way. And he wants to open – he's been saying he wants to open everything up for a long time. I mean, that's just the way he feels. A lot of people feel that way. And a lot of people also feel the other way.
Have you gotten any casinos lately, Dean?
I haven't, no.
They got glass shields all over the place. There's only one issue. You have people walking around smoking in a casino, which I still cannot believe they allow.
I know. Well, I don't understand that either. Nevada is the last place to really not ban smoking in casinos. I mean, California did it. What, 25 years ago? I don't remember the exact timeline, but you know what's funny is smokers used to think it was their right. I mean, this is something that's always, you know, been rolling around my brain. Smokers thought it was their right to smoke, and that you shouldn't be bothered by it because it was their right to smoke. And when they stopped it and they said no more smoking inside, especially in the casinos and in public places, I sort of realized, like, wow, what a difference. It's not their right to smoke. It's our right to have clean air. But it's two totally different views, which happens all the time.
It's unfortunate. The number is 702-257-5396. I got a question for you, Dean.
Okay.
So what was your take when Schumer and company came out and said they want to stack the courts if they win? They want to increase the SCOTUSes by maybe the 15. I mean, making those threats, does that help the cause or does it hurt the cause?
What, the Democratic cause or
yeah, of course.
I don't know. It might help them. I mean, people are really offended by Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell. Listen, it was Trump's right to nominate someone. No, I don't think anyone. The president has the right to nominate someone, but what Lindsey McConnell and Mitch and what. what Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham did, what they said after the last, you know, when Obama wanted his nomination. And now they say in 2020, and what they said, and they set a precedent, and this is the way it's going to be. And I played it last time. Last week we played Lindsey Graham's tape. It's hypocrisy at its worst. And
well,
that's how the whether you agree with it or not, that's how the Democrats feel. Hypocrisy at its worst.
If the Democrats were in power, they would do the same thing. Let's be honest.
No. I disagree. Here's where I agree and disagree with that statement. Because number one, if Merrick Garland was appointed, if the Republicans if there was a Republican president, and he nominated someone, the Democrats would have put it to a vote in 2016. They wouldn't have just said no vote.
Democrats had the majority that Republicans did, and that person would have probably got appointed.
But they didn't put it to a vote.
Harry Reid was told clearly by McConnell, be careful what you wish for, nuclear option, et cetera. Because I'm here to tell you, right now, where we're at, it's getting ugly. And what I think is crazy is that if I were a politician, I would look to get elected, and I would be very quiet in how I want to get elected. By making threats that we're gonna stack the courts, we're gonna make Washington D.C. and Puerto Rico state.
Well, if the Democrats get in power, they're gonna make Washington D.C. a state. There's no question about
it.
They have three times the population of Wyoming.
Okay.
So there's absolutely no question about that. Joe Biden doesn't agree with stacking.
Joe Biden is going to do whatever. He's the puppet. He'll listen to whatever they tell him.
Well, that's what Trump says. Biden's a puppet. Biden's not a puppet.
I can see that. I mean, listen, the fact that he picked Kamala Harris is funny. There were a lot stronger candidates out there that could have run for VP.
Maybe not. You know, the Democrats haven't won without the black vote in I don't know how long.
If the black vote is any indication, Trump could be the first Republican president to get like 16-18%. Well, things are changing.
Maybe, but the black people have to vote. In 2016, they just simply didn't vote. The black community didn't come out and vote.
Here's a question for you. Why isn't Washington, D.C. a state right now?
I have no idea.
It's so big.
It should be.
I mean, it seems logical. And the Democrats had the power for years. Why didn't they just go out of their way? So, you know what? Let's make D.C. a state.
I think people have been.
Why now, not then?
Right. People have been vying for it. But now, you know, the Democratic position on this stuff is that, you know, most of the population resides in Democratic areas. Yet because of the Electoral College and the way things are laid out, they don't have a majority of the representation.
Is the Electoral College
still effective? You know, is it still?
Sure it is. Why should people in New York City determine how people in Utah live? New York.
It's the same thing in reverse. Why should people in Wyoming determine how people in New York City live?
You have to have fair and equitable. The reason that the Electoral College is genius is everybody has a say-so.
Otherwise, it was genius at the time, but is it still genius?
It's still genius. Think about it. You're basically saying New York, Florida, Texas, Ohio, California, you make the decision for the rest of the country, and if they don't like it, well, 86 of them. That doesn't work that way. We're supposed to be a fair and equitable nation. What you're basically saying is, we're going to let the Republicans get screwed because we're going to make all the Democratic cities handle it. And, by the way, is it a coincidence those same cities have the highest rate of homelessness? They have the highest
It's because the cities are where most of the population is. Los Angeles has a population of 12 million. I mean, what's the population of
let's talk about that.
Population of Green Bay, Wisconsin? I mean,
let's talk about Texas, for instance. So explain to me this. How come in Dallas, homelessness is not a problem, but in Austin it is, where Austin, Texas is run by Democrats and Dallas isn't? Can you explain that one?
Because Democrats are more willing to help people that need help. I mean, that's the first thing that comes to my mind.
Take the dump.
What?
You think it's okay for somebody to sit outside and sleep and take a dump in public?
So what are you going to do? Okay. So listen, Pat, when people need help, what are they supposed to do? Kill themselves? I mean, where are they supposed to go? They're going to go to where people are willing to help them. I mean, what else are they supposed to do?
But in Austin, how are they helping them? They're not helping them.
They
do
help them. You know, but you know, there's not enough help anywhere, Pat. You know, when it comes to homelessness, the two things that go along with homelessness the most. What?
Have you ever seen how much money we dump into the homelessness?
Well, there's two things that go into homelessness, Pat. Listen, one is drugs, and the other is mental illness. And until we're able to solve those problems, there's always going to be homelessness, and the homeless people are going to go where they can get the help. And if that's Democratic cities, that's where they're going to go. If the Republican cities refuse to help them, they're going to go to the Democratic cities. Why do you think there's homeless people?
We provide $3.1 billion a year to help fight homelessness. We're failing. I think we're failing a little bit, don't you think?
Yeah, well, you know, going back to what Will said, the caller earlier in the show, we're you know, both Trump, the American people deserve to hear what Trump and what Biden are willing to say at a debate. And
I agree with that 100%.
You know, and these are the kinds of issues that they need to face down and
but
talk about.
The question, don't you think when somebody's asked a direct question, they should give a direct answer?
Yes, of course. And these are the kind
of
issues
that Monday, Tuesday night, did he?
What?
Joey was giving great questions from Chris Wallace, and he refused to answer them. Why?
Who, you're saying Biden did that?
Biden didn't answer the question.
See, listen, this is one of the problems, because if you ask any Democrat, they'll say Biden answered every question and had to fight Trump at the same time. And
so
if you ask any Republican, you'll say what you're saying. And I don't, I just don't agree with you. Biden was fine. Biden answered every question.
I saw the event, and I'll tell you right now, I will sit here and say, I was disappointed that the president didn't let Trump did not allow Joe Biden to hang himself, because I don't think Joe Biden provided any kind of leadership. And when he was asked about the last 47 years, what could he say? Nothing. You're talking about.
Listen, granted, he's a career politician, but 40.
Joe Biden,
don't throw his career down the toilet. The guy's been a senator. He was a public defender and a senator and a vice president.
He was a bad senator. This is a guy.
He wasn't a bad senator.
He was the KKK.
He started being a senator 47 years ago. Times were completely different. Things change.
1994?
You know,
how different was it in 1994?
It was a lot different. Are you kidding me?
He actually claimed allowing segregation, his kids would end up going to school in the jungle. That was Joe Biden.
I don't know. You know,
I know. I heard it. I read it. I listened to him say it. I mean, Joe Biden has a historic career of being a very, very racial individual, and not pro-black, I can tell you right now. And
all I know is Joe Biden has always supported the black community. From the time he started out in the Senate, he's always supported the black community. He was a public defender. He's always been, you know, trying to help the black community. That's been one of his goals in life.
Let me say this. I got to be honest. I will say this. I'll say this sincerely. I can't believe that Joe Biden was the best that the Democrats could put forth to take out the president of the United States.
Well, you know, that's been every year. You know, you could say that about almost every election that we've been involved in. I mean, I can't believe
Reagan,
it either.
Reagan,
I mean,
Reagan,
obviously.
Oh, my God, Reagan was a stud. That was my first presidential election to vote.
Which one?
Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, me too. That's the first presidential election I got to vote into.
And I tell you what,
you and I are the same age.
When he called out Russia and he told them to tear down that wall, I thought to myself, this guy's got a set of rocks. And they tried to kill him too. By the way, the number here is 702-257-5396. We have about 10 minutes. Love to get your input on this. But I got to be honest, I like what Will had to say. I agree with him. By the same token, I was not overly impressed with the debate totally.
Right.
I was not happy with my guy. I was totally not happy with your guy.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, oh, my God.
Me too. I mean, I.
7th of October, because I know we got Pence going up against Harris. And that's going to be a – that should be a pisser. That should be.
Yeah, I know. Well, Pat, I agree with you that this is the best we can do in America. It doesn't make sense. You know, even – number one, they're both their ages. Why should we have presidents in their 70s?
I will tell you this. Now, that's a whole different – I personally think you should not be able to be in office beyond age 75.
Right.
That's it. 75
– I even think that's too old, to be honest with you. So
I'm being nice. Okay, 75 is the end of the line. And I'll tell you for lots of reasons.
The stress of the job. And by the way, I heard this today. It was kind of interesting. Of all the presidents you've ever seen in office, Trump looks like he's just running for office for the very first time. He still looks pretty damn good. But when you look at all these presidents, by the time they leave, oh, my God, did they look old.
Right, I know.
I mean, Jimmy Carter, God bless him. I mean, he's still alive.
Right. I mean, every president's aged 20 years and 8 years when they're
minimum.
In office.
And but yet, you look at Trump, he looks like he's, you know. That,
well, he looks old. Trump looks old.
He's 74.
He gets a lot of makeup and a lot of, you know. He has a lot of energy, though. I mean, Trump seems to, before COVID, Trump had a lot of energy. There's no question about that.
We're talking about a guy that says obese. I'm like, let me tell you right now, the old man gets around pretty good. I don't know how the hell he talks so long, but God bless him.
Yeah.
I mean, his energy level is really amazing. Again, when I look at what we're looking at right now, we have people in office that are 87 years of age. We just had, God rest her soul, Ginsburg was 87 and fighting cancer. I mean, I think there comes a time in life that we have to start saying, you know what? You're done. No more public office at 70.
Right. Well, everyone needs to. We need term limits on everything. I mean, not having term limits is a big problem.
But, I mean, that's really where we're at. And then right now, what I can sit here and say, and this is coming from a Republican, hearing a bunch of Democrats making these threats about loading the courts and doing this, that doesn't win you votes. That costs you money. I mean, it's time to bring this country together.
Right.
Instead of becoming a dividing rod. I mean,
making the court 6-3, you know, making the court 6-3 in an election year, whether there's a month away from the election, is something that Democrats really resent. I don't know how to put it any other way. I mean, if you don't understand that.
But you make that comment, but when it was 6-3 the other way, it was okay.
It was never 6-3 the other way. I don't remember the last time the Democrats controlled the Supreme Court.
I got news for you. The Republicans haven't, until Trump got elected, we didn't even have a majority, and quite frankly, we don't even win.
It was 5-4. It's always been 5. It's been 5-4 for a long time.
Democrats have always had the lead.
What? No, it's been 5-4 Republican conservative. I don't want to say Republican, but it's been 5-4 conservative for a long time. When Scalia died, it was 5-4, and it's been 5-4.
I think.
That's why the Republicans didn't want Merrick Garland, because it would have switched. And they said, we're going
to
wait.
I don't have at my disposal the way to look that up. And in the last, I'd like to look up the last 25 years, but I don't think you're correct. But we'll see. But bottom line is this. Threatening to load the courts, threatening to try to stack the Senate, are not ways to build a democracy that we have in the United States. Our country's been great. Now, I will sit here and also tell you where I don't agree with you. I do believe the Electoral College works for the most part. I mean, again, when you look at with the things that are going on in the country, especially if you recently looked at the video from last weekend in Minnesota, you know, with the ballot harvesting, things like that, we should not have to worry about that even being on the table. Our country is the United States of America. We should not have to worry that a person got elected unfairly or underhandedly. This is the United States of America. If we can't fight the right way, we have problems. I don't want to become a third world country, and it could very easily.
I believe the Supreme Court's been conservative since the 70s.
JD, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
I can hear you clear, my friend.
Okay. Just for the record, Dean, Wyoming has 578,000 people and D.C. 700,000, so it's not three times. I have a question. What do you believe the essence of a long-time politician is?
You asking me or
both?
Repeat the question.
What is the essence? The essence of a long-time politician.
What is the essence?
Yes. What do they do?
They stay stagnant and don't change. I don't know. What are you looking for? Pat,
okay.
What do you think? What is the essence of a long-term politician?
Go ahead, Pat.
They get things passed that their constituents want, and they basically form a nation in what they believe is the image in their mind.
JD, what are you getting at here?
I didn't hear what Pat said. I couldn't hear it.
Oh, Pat, speak up louder.
I believe a long-term politician basically can carve the nation into the way he or she sees fit. And that, to me, is unfair because they become
not only the maker of rules and regulations, but the makers of rules and regulations that they want, that are more important to them and their constituents than the United States of America.
To boil it down to my simplest terms, for 36 years in the Senate and 8 years in the vice presidency, Joe Biden has been talking and talking and talking about things, promising things like giving me now $1,300 a year more in Social Security, even though in one of his other ads, Trump is going to break Social Security in 3.5 years. He's going to give new home buyers $15,000, and he's going to give parents $7,000 child care, all at the same time when we're $26 trillion in debt, and he's going to get all of this money from the corporations. All politicians have done on both sides that have been in office for 30 and 40 and 50 years is talk, lie, and promise things. Trump, in 4 years, has made things happen.
Go ahead, Dean.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't even know what to say. I agree that politicians, you know, there should be term limits. I mean, I think most people agree there should be term limits. I don't even know how these people get elected over and over again. So it's somewhat the people's fault that there's term limits and that there's not term limits. They keep voting for the same people over and over again. Name recognition counts, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how you vote in a guy that's in his 80s. I don't understand that. And when you do that, you're discounting the younger generation. And there is something to be said for wisdom and knowledge, but at some point you have to release the reins and let younger people take over, because younger people are always going to be the future. That's the way it works. Has Trump been a good president? In some ways, yes. In some ways, no. I mean, there's disagreements on both sides. There's real reasons, whether you like it or not, why many people feel that Trump is not a good president. And there's many reasons that, you know, on both sides where Trump is a good president. And that's why we vote. I mean, that's what the voting is all about. But it should be, you know, on the facts and the news and the, you know, on actual journalism and news and facts, not on opinion, which is where we are right now. And so many people are driven by opinion. And to me, opinion journalism has brought this country to its knees. And that's the problem, because what everyone, including you and me and Pat, you know, I'm talking to you, JD, myself, Pat, we're influenced by opinion journalism, and we're not reaching out and getting the facts. And in some ways, they should be split up. I mean, you shouldn't be allowed to be both a news and an opinion station, in my opinion. I mean, I think there's some merit to saying, hey, if you want to be opinion, but that's all you're going to do. If you want, otherwise, you have to be a news station and only report facts and be responsible for that. Live up to that obligation.
You know, I'd like to jump in on one something. I will sit here and say this. I think, surprisingly, Trump's policies have been pretty good, especially his worldwide policies. I can't believe what he did in Israel with Jerusalem. I can't believe the peace treaties he's put together, being nominated for multiple Pulitzer Prizes. Nobel Peace Prizes is amazing. I think it's amazing. I think he surprised a lot of people, despite not having a bipartisan nation where both sides work together during his term. Had they worked together and did their job, we'd all be a hell of a lot better off right now.
Well, yeah, of course. If everybody worked together, it'd be great. You know, it's something that we lost a long time ago in this country, because, you know, you can bag on Bill Clinton all you want, but Bill Clinton and Newt Gingrich worked together, and they came up with some.
By the way, Dean, I hate to be rude.
Yeah, no, we're out.
We're ready to get out of here. But I got to say, for starters, Bill Clinton did a hell of a job. He's a hell of a president. He might be the last great president we had before.
Because they worked together, because him and Newt worked together.
But after that, it's been downhill ever since. And that's pretty ugly.
Right.
You're listening to our show, Common Ground. It's Dean Schulman. I'm Pat Cassell. We're every Saturday, 6 to 7. Hope you join the show next week. Hope you enjoyed tonight's show. God bless and have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Pat. Thanks.